to the political cesspool known worldwide as the South's foremost populist radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome to the political cesspool. I'm producer Denny, and we've got a real treat for you this hour. We're going to be listening to the James Edwards interview that he did with the on the Jeff Wrench show. So, without any further ado, let's get started with the interview. Here we go.
Okay, and welcome back. Glad you're along tonight. It is a great pleasure to welcome another original in the field of talk radio, a man who has a very loyal and very intelligent and very wide audience. There are so many people in this business who are just clones. All they do is pull their material from others, copy. This man is truly a thinker. He is a great American. His name is James Edwards. And it's a pleasure to have him on the program. We're going to talk to him and also about his brand new book called Racism, Schmacism. And it's a good one. James, are you there?
I'm here, Jeff. It's really an honor to be on your show tonight. As a regular visitor to your website, I've noticed that we share many of the same friends and acquaintances from Ted Pike, Kevin McDonald, Paul Craig Roberts, Brother Nathaniel. The list goes on and on. Good to be in quality company. We're going to give them a good show tonight.
Well, thank you. The new book, how long was it in the making, Racism, Schmin? And also, I should ask, that's a great title. Where'd you get that?
Well, I always need to bone up on my Yiddish, I guess, being a good southern white man. But it was in the making, really, I guess, for 6 years.
Uh-huh.
I started my radio program back in the fall of 2004, and ever since really the first few months I was on air, people were asking when am I writing my first book. Well, the day finally came. I started putting pen to paper in October of last year, and it was released at the beginning of June. So it was actually about 7 months, 8 months, the actual process of writing it and getting it published and edited and all, but it's been a long time coming.
You, when I was reading about your background, you have been honored by your community and city and other people as well. And if you can, don't be embarrassed. Tell us about some of the things that you've been singled out for, because they were very nice. The city, I guess, has recognized your contributions. You've really put out, and you're not just somebody who sits around.
Well, that's right, Jeff, and I appreciate you asking me that. It's funny because I actually take my enemies. I actually value them as much as I do my friends. I've been attacked more by the Southern Poverty Law Center and the Anti-Defamation League than any other paleo-conservative activist, if I could use the word, in the country over the last 5 years. And that includes friends of mine like David Duke. I've even beat out David Duke from the SPLC and ADL. So I take that, perhaps, as my biggest accomplishment. But you were mentioning actual awards, and I was given a certificate of recognition by the Memphis City Council. My program is based in Memphis, Tennessee.
Right.
For outstanding contributions to the community that stems from the work I've done on radio. I was also named an honorary city councilman. And in addition to that, I have a great deal of respect for my ancestors, and I happen to have one of which who fought for the South during the war between the states. An issue developed back in 2005, about a year after we first took the airwaves, and during which they tried to rename three of the Confederate parks here in Memphis, and we mounted the resistance to that. We were the only entity, including some of the Confederate veterans, we were the only ones, my radio program was, that mounted a rally in defense of these parks and these monuments, and we also received a certificate of recognition from the SCV for that. So we've been around.
Good for you.
I
salute that. That's great. Our heritage must be honored, and the Confederacy is, some may not like it, part of our heritage. And the brave men and women who were in the South, just as brave as those in the North, and to deny them their recognition is about as wrong as it gets. Now, here's another issue. You call it paleoconservative. The label game is so out of control now in this country. People don't understand they're being deluged with labels. But when we go back to, and I remember, and many of you listening remember, when black Americans, African Americans were taught about their, well, it was Alex Haley, roots and black pride. And all of a sudden it was okay to talk about your heritage and your ancestry. The same with our Latino citizens here. But if you're a white Caucasian from Europe, you're not allowed to boast, express pride, or anything else that would suggest that you think where you came from was a good place and the contributions that your ancestors made to this country are worthy of mention or even remembrance. I mean, this is crazy. But that's part of the control of mainstream media, of course, and what they do to people. And when they have control of minds from the age, well, from cradle to grave, it becomes a matter of science, not just guesswork as to how to condition those minds to think. But tell us about our, and I'm Irish and Italian and a little German, our ancestry. Why has it been pushed to the side and deemed to be an embarrassment or something that shouldn't be talked about? How did that ever come about?
Well, that's an excellent question, Jeff, and I think that there are many things in play there. I could offer you a few examples or a few reasons as to why I think that has occurred. It would be purely speculative, though. But, you know, the fact of the matter is that it does exist. And I'm all for diversity and respecting one another's culture, but from
a distance.
Yeah. Now, I'm not going to Mexico, and I'm not going to Israel, and I'm not going to the Sudan and demanding that they all live as Europeans do or as white Christians do. But at the same time, I don't want these people coming into my country and demanding things that run counter to everything that all people have believed in and practiced for centuries. The melting pot is now percolating at a dull simmer. A multicultural and a multiracial society has never stood the test of time. And if America is going to behave like the new Rome, then we're going to pay the price that Rome paid. And that's something that I think our people need to stand against. And that includes all Americans. All Americans could be a part of this solution. But, you know, there's something that needs to be done about that. And you hit the nail on the head. When we stand up and when we ask for the same rights and privileges that the ethnic minorities in this country...
Just recognition
only,
of our... Just recognition
yeah,
of our...
That's it.
That's it, sure.
Well,
when that happens,
other,
we get stomped, and sure. Go ahead.
Well, what I was going to say was, you know, all other racial minority groups in this country are not only allowed but encouraged to have spokespeople and organizations who advance their group interests.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I want for my family. When white people, as you mentioned, seek to have ethnocentric representation for themselves, it's falsely labeled as racist hate and neo-Nazism. Well, that's madness, Jeff. You know, I see no hatred in being allowed to celebrate our history and heroes and cultural heritage.
Intellectual fraud all the way.
Robert E. Lee and Davy Crockett are never going to be the heroes of anybody else but ourselves. And I'm proud of the advancements made by Western civilization. I want to see that type of society endure. It's second to none. And if that makes me a racist, then so be it, because racism is just a term coined by Trotsky to begin with. Now, I want to be disliked by sociopaths that share his viewpoint.
Exactly. Most folks will understand immediately if you want to encounter racism, go into any inner city. And I don't care what colored gang member you're talking to, but you're going to run into race immediately as the ultimate overseeing trump card. That's just...
Don't go away. The Political Cesspool guys will be back right after these messages.
Don't let me be misunderstood.
Please don't understand me, baby.
Don't let me be misunderstood.
Don't misunderstand me, baby.
Don't let me be
misunderstood. Jump in the Political Cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the Political Cesspool, James Edwards.
Welcome back to the Political Cesspool. I'm producer Denny, and we have a real treat for you tonight. We're listening to the Jeff Rentz interview that James Edwards did a couple of weeks ago. We've been getting a lot of requests for that at thepoliticalcesspool.org. So we'll continue now with the interview.
That's just the way it is. James Edwards' book is Racism, Schmacism. And how is it available, James?
Well, people can go directly to our website, racismbook.com. Easy to remember, racismbook.com. It's also available on Amazon. We're going to talk more about it, I'm sure.
Very good. Now, the idea of writing a book like this, of course, and not that you really care, opens the door for all kinds of increased criticism. And if the Southern Poverty Law Center, what a bogus name. You ever heard anything funnier? That I always laughed at that one. But if they and the ADL and the JDL and all the rest of them, B'nai B'rith, have come after you simply because you want to talk about your ancestry, it ought to immediately ignite indignation and outrage among a lot of Americans. Have you been able to pick up, and I know you're in Memphis, but have you been able to pick up a lot of local support for the simple reality that everyone is different? A lot of Americans wish to celebrate their difference, and that means their European heritage. They're not allowed to. I don't know how does Memphis treat this?
Well, we're treated very well here in Memphis, believe it or not. I mean, as you already have mentioned, we've got the certificate from the Memphis City Council.
That's wonderful.
You know, being named an honorary city councilman, and that was, again, as a result of the work we do in our program. Now, of course, we've been bombarded with attacks because we dare speak, the name of our race, I guess, on our show. And, you know, our show deals with issues of racial animus. We cover issues throughout the political spectrum, but
sure.
I guess this would be what we're most known for. But we're received quite well here in town. The media, now that's a different story. But the actual people, you know, were very much respected and revered.
The book on the page, for those of you not there, is pictured with James on the cover. And it says at the top, are you sick and tired of liberals, race hustlers? That's a great expression, very accurate. Race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies. This happens all the time. And I look at Obama as white. Most people look at him as, he's half white. I mean, I'll take the white half if I'm going to call him anything. At any rate, it's a book that is well worth reading. As you know, long-term listeners, we entertain all points of the political spectrum here and are very proud of doing it. We still have a First Amendment, and unless we use it, we're going to lose it. We'll be right back with James Edwards in just a couple. Okay, and we're back with James Edwards. His radio program is called thepoliticalcesspool.org. That's the website anyway. The Political Cesspool, and is it ever? You've been on CNN a number of times, James. How are you billed and presented? Why do they call you and bring you on? Just as another conservative commentator, which you're not. You're much more than that.
No, when CNN called, I have to give it to CNN, though. They treated me quite fairly. Even though they had me on to talk about, I think my first appearance with them back in 2007 was to talk about self-segregation. Why do people tend to self-segregate? Even though they had me on a panel that featured three other blacks, they actually billed me as a talk radio host, which is what I am. Now, the Southern Poverty Law Center then soon after took CNN to task for labeling me accurately rather than the way that they would label me, which is as... Well, you can just pick your adjective.
Oh, sure.
But
I've got them all, too. Yeah.
Of course you do, Jeff. But, no, CNN has been great. You know, I was on with them a number of times. My program, because of the work we do, and as you mentioned, you know, because I'm not a copyist, you know, I don't try to be the next Rush Limbaugh, as every major market has one of us. You know, I talk about issues that motivate me, and I want to make a difference. And I don't pull any punches, and as a result, I've been on CNN. We've been covered in the London Times, and the Los Angeles Times, and the New York Times, and Newsweek magazine, some of the biggest print publications in the world, Fox News. For better or for worse, you know, we've made a name for ourselves, and we've carved out a reputation, and I wouldn't change anything that we've done in order to get to where we are today. And, you know, where we are today is talking to you, Jeff, and that's in, you know, that's something I'm proud of.
Well, it's an honor to have you on the program there. Unfortunately, many people who call themselves conservatives are frauds. They immediately begin to apologize if anybody accuses them of being racist or racially oriented. And they're, as you call them, they're wimps.
Go ahead. I'm sorry to interrupt, but you certainly got me going. That's why I wrote the book, actually. The book isn't an autobiography about my, you know, days on the radio for the past 6 years. I wrote the book because if you're like me, and I know some of your listeners are, you've had it. As I write on the book page, watching this so-called conservative movement spin its wheels, make a lot of noise, but never go anywhere.
Never.
If you look at the so-called conservative movement over the last 60 years, we're fighting a retreating battle on all fronts. You pick your signature issue, I guarantee you we have not advanced the conservative cause on any of it.
Hmm.
You know, you're fed up with these Tea Party. This Tea Party phenomenon is a wonderful example of implicit whiteness is what I call it. These are people coming together. They're looking for leadership. They're coming to these protest rallies. They want to make a powerful statement about big government But they get there and they spend their time listening to, you know, what I said, what you said. A bunch
right.
of wimps insisting that they're not racist. Well, this is what my book's all about. And once you read it, you'll understand why this occurs and exactly how to solve the problem, because it is no accident. It's happening all over America, because liberals and race hustlers know that all they got to do is toss out the R word, and it absolutely derails conservatives. It shuts down conservative dissent.
Yeah. Anybody, it immediately flips things, and you're, not you, but one is put on the defensive, so to speak. Starting out apologizing for anything is not the way to make a positive or an assertive message work. It just doesn't happen. That's a negative. It shows weakness. And you can't do it. You've got to present your strength first. And that's where a lot of these people just don't understand where they're going. They like you say, they're spinning their wheels. They're just doing nothing.
Well, look at Glenn Beck. You know, Glenn
no, you,
Beck,
you look at him. I don't want
to. Well, he's supposed to be, you know, he's the one that has been exalted by the media, of course.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I mean, obviously by a lot of people, too, as the standard bearer of modern-day conservatism.
I know.
And I wrote a big article. It got widely spread, entitled The Death Rattle of Mainstream Conservatism, because here's Glenn Beck. He draws 250,000 people to Washington a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
And while it may have looked impressive, in reality, it just shows how impotent and adrift the mainstream conservative movement has become. Nobody was really even sure what it was all about. It was about restoring honor, then it was about supporting the troops, then it turned in, of all things, to a rally to reclaim the civil rights movement, which, let's face it, Jeff, that wasn't a movement that has proven to be favorable for all the white people that were in that rally. The rally was pretty much just a Martin Luther King worship session, but then again, the ringmaster there, the unsung heroes of the American Revolution, were the numerous black founding fathers whose existence until Glenn Beck came along to set the record straight had been covered up by the liberals. So this is the kind of nonsense that passes for modern-day conservatism, and I want none of it. You know, I'm a traditional American. I use the word paleoconservative because I want to distinguish myself from the creeps that ran the Bush administration, which are, of course, the same creeps that run the Obama administration.
Exactly.
But, you know, I'm candid when it comes to matters of a racial animus, as all of our grandparents were. And I realize that you can't have a first-world nation with a third-world population. It just doesn't work. And my ancestors and your ancestors, they sacrificed blood and bone in order to carve this nation from a wilderness. And to me, you know, America is more than just a flophouse for the dregs of Mexico or other locations.
It doesn't matter where they come from. What it is precisely as you've stated. They are the bottom element of, in this case, Mexico, Central America. It could be from Africa, it could be from Asia, it doesn't matter. We can't take those people. They come from 72 different countries approximately. That's the illegal alien rush on this. 35 million, maybe more now, we don't even know. We will not take control of our borders, and a nation that does not control its borders really has no right to call itself a nation. It's kind of like a piece of protoplasm without a cell wall. And it begins to disseminate nothing. Zero.
If you knew Peggy Sue, then don't go away. The political cesspool guys will be back right after these messages. Peggy Sue. Get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool. Call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. We've got to get out of this place.
Producer Denny, you can catch archives of the political cesspool at thepoliticalcesspool.org, or you can go to libertynewsradio.com. Let's continue with the Jeff Rentz interview.
And it begins to disseminate nothing. Zero. It'll deconstruct and it just fades away. And that's what these people who are trying to bring this country down from within want to happen. That's why the borders were open. When were you first aware of the fact that the borders were wide open and this whole illegal immigration onslaught was being orchestrated and encouraged? When did you figure that out?
Well, the day I started homeschooling. I went to a private Christian school until ninth grade, and I guess I was just like anybody else. I just didn't care about too much more than school and sports and movies and things of that nature. I started homeschooling in the ninth grade and homeschooled all the way out, and that's when I began to read more and learn more about politics, and I began to read the works of Pat Buchanan. And I worked for Pat, and he's been on my show a few times, and I worked for him when he ran in that Woebegone campaign in 2000.
Right. But
that's where I got my start. That's where I really began to understand some of the fundamentals that were in play. And from there, it's only progressed. And over the last 10 years, I've continued to evolve. And here
we are. Very good. All right, stand by. James Edwards is my guest this hour. We'll come right back with more. Talk about California's Proposition 187 in a couple minutes, and maybe your state had one similar to it. Be right back. Okay, and we're back talking with the courageous American patriot, James Edwards. And there's nothing wrong with anyone celebrating their racial or ethnic heritage. Have at it. It's supposed to be a free country, right? You're no racist if you happen to come from France or Belgium or Great Britain or Germany and you want to be proud of that. That's nothing wrong with that at all. And you've got to keep that message being pounded into your kids' head. They're going to, because they'll be programmed by the schools. How do you reach out to younger people? Because the government schools now turn out idiots, of course. The program.
I can with the program. Anybody who can hear is allowed to tune in and listen, I guess.
Right.
I think we still have that freedom here in this country. I got to check up day by day on it and see what's going on. I got to check with Ted Pike and see what's going on with these hate crimes because it's, of course, hate. It's a crime to be proud of your ancestry if that ancestry is of European stock. But, you know, we try to reach out to as many people as we can by as many ways as we can. The book, we've got the radio program. Obviously, we do guest appearances with you and other people who ask us for interviews. We're going to start a video project. So really, by any means that people like to take in their information, we're going to have it covered and be political successful.
Where it's all going, you ought to start, and maybe you already have it, I don't know, but your own YouTube channel, Political Cesspool. And where we're going is the 3 to 6, 7 minute long YouTube people used to read. They don't read anymore. They want to see. And these are where the writers of today are slowly migrating. It's actually occurring at a faster rate all the time. They're going to the video format because they can make their message even more flowery and more relevant to our younger people who are brought up on this audio-video incredible pacing. And I call it AV speed. They need to see. They can't just sit and read a book anymore. But if you can put those together and put them out 5-6 minutes long, I think you'll be amazed at the response. Our young people really want to know. I've got a lot of young people who listen to this program, and I'm talking about high school kids, and you probably do too. And they know that the lie is enormous. They know they're being conned. I don't know how they know, but in many cases it comes from their parents. You talked about homeschooling. Tell us more about that, and is it popular in Memphis?
Well, it's becoming more and more popular everywhere because, as I said, I do believe that conservative white people have this implicit whiteness in play. They don't exactly know how to act on it yet because they've been browbeaten so much with this, with the charge of racism. But, you know, we had to go to homeschooling because it was just so cost prohibitive to go to private school. Private school here in Memphis, where the school where I was going to, was $12,000 a year to go to ninth grade.
Yeah, no
you know,
way.
People have to pay that because if they go to public school, they're going to get, you know, raped. You know,
that's not a joke either. And you know, going beyond that, we talked in the last segment a little bit about America, the melting pot. I guarantee you, any reasonably substantial ethnic group that comes to this country in numbers does not any longer, by and large, want to melt into the pot and become Americans. They want to preserve their ethnicity.
That's right.
They live in their own communities. They celebrate their own, whether it be socio-economic or religious pastime pursuits. They observe their own holidays. They keep their traditions alive. They gather together and they exclude the concept of really becoming Americans. There are exceptions. But generally speaking, you've got the Asian community, you've got the African American, the Latino community, and now you have the Muslim communities. And these are blocks within large urban areas. And they are not melting together, folks. It doesn't work anymore, and it never did. Well, it might have 100 years ago, but not in our lifetimes. It's changed.
Jeff, you're 100% correct. I couldn't agree with you more. It's never worked. A house divided cannot stand. I mean, that's one of the oldest sayings in the book. And I'll give you a perfect example of the difference between the cultures or the societies of the first world and the third world. Here's a case study for you and everyone listening. Let's take a look at Haiti. All right, Haiti was once the jewel of the Caribbean.
Mm-hmm.
But after the indigenous population there killed all of the French colonists, they soon thereafter proved their incapacity to maintain a first world existence. Haiti has a French language, a French governmental system, a French judicial system, but no one can confuse Haiti with France. Haiti is now one of the poorest, most corrupt, most morally depraved nations in the world.
That's a catastrophe.
You know, and what's the most glaring difference between Haiti and France? And I got another one for you. Why does Dresden, Germany look as if they won the war, and Detroit looks like a bombed-out shell? Well, the answer to that is rhetorical, and the answer to that is the 800-pound gorilla that no one wants to talk about. But we talk about it on the political festival. You give me an opportunity to talk about it tonight, and if more people will just be honest about this,
right,
then perhaps we can come to a resolution that will reclaim America's destiny, something that will be right for all Americans.
Facts are facts, and if you just lay the facts on the table and can get someone with an open mind to just look at them, it's very difficult for them to ignore reality. And I title a lot of my, quote, controversial essays and articles at Rents.com with facts are facts. And I defy anyone to tell me that they're not. They are. So we try and confront it that way. But back to this other, and Frosty Wooldridge, we should mention Frosty as
right.
Well.
Good man. Yeah.
He's done an awful lot. Just to, you know, we don't agree with all of our guests, neither do you, and everything they say and do. But by and large, people who are trying to preserve America from all ethnic groups, in my opinion, are patriots. This country is worth saving. And whether you're brown, black, the Asian race, it doesn't matter. There are leaders and strong-standing Americans from all communities. And Frosty has done a really fine job of trying to bring people forward and bring them together from all groups. And unfortunately, it's not happening. Why is it that these groups refuse to try to blend in? And you've got all the communities I mentioned. There are five major racial ethnic communities in every urban area in America. And in Detroit, it's finished. Done. Why? What happened to make this country so different than it was 75, 100 years ago? And people were proud to come here. People really respected American history. They thought the Constitution was a magnificent, it's the most magnificent instrument ever created by humankind. Really?
Yeah.
There's no comparison with anything. But now people come here and they mock us. What has happened? Do you try and quantify that in any way that I hadn't heard before, or do you have a different take on it? There's a reason this is happening, and I haven't been able to really put it down exactly as I'd like, but what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I'm sure in the years you've been in broadcasting and all of the great guests you've had on, you probably, I don't think there's any original ideas that are going to be spread tonight, but, you know, you're right, the American experiment was the greatest experiment that was ever devised, and now it's beginning to crumble before our very eyes. Why did it happen? Well, I think that there's many answers to that. You certainly got double standards in play, which we've already covered tonight, that encouraged different minority ethnic groups in this country to celebrate and advance
right.
Their cultural heritage.
Yeah, it was.
While not assimilating, they're taught that you know, white people are the great devils and you know, the great sinners, and that
yeah.
Everything that we've done is evil. And they've certainly built up a lot of deep-seated resentment against America. The Americans
I agree.
And you know, honestly, you know, let's face it. Another 800-pound elephant is there is a lot of radical, and this doesn't include all Jewish people, but there is a lot of radical Zionist power and influence in play.
Tremendous
amount.
I think
there is something there that seeks to destroy the America as we knew, the white Christian example of Western civilization. And
part of the problem.
Very effective.
Part of the problem. Big part of it. Stand by. We'll be back. And we'll talk about Proposition 187 with James in just a minute. All right, we're back talking with James Edwards, talk show host and great American. His new book, Racism, Schmacism, available at his website. Just go to racismbook.com.
Don't go away. The Political Cesspool guys will be back right after these messages.
We gotta get out of this place. If it's the last thing we ever do, we gotta get out of this place. Girl, there's a better life.
Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's dime, toll free, at 1-866-986-7777. 6397. And here's the host of the Political Cesspool, James Edwards.
I'm producer Denny for the Political Cesspool. We're going to finish up the interview with that James Edwards had with Jeff Rentz a couple weeks ago. Don't forget, you can always listen to the archives at thepoliticalcesspool.org, or you can check out libertynewsradio.com. Let's continue now with the Jeff Rentz interview.
All right, we're back talking with James Edwards, talk show host and great American. His new book, Racism, Schmacism, available at his website. Just go to racismbook.com. It's right there. Prop 187 kind of turned the lights on for me. I was seeing a lot of things before that, James, but in California, Proposition 187 was also known as Save Our State, S-O-S. It was an initiative. It's where you gather signatures. I don't know if you have it in Tennessee or not, but you can put things on the ballot with enough signatures from the populace. It was a 1994 ballot initiative designed to create a state-run citizenship screening system. Citizenship screening system in order to prohibit illegal immigrants from using health care, public education, and other social services in the U.S. state of California. All right? California is now beyond bankrupt, as you know. And a large reason, a large portion of the actual cause of that is the illegal immigration problem in California. The proposal itself, it was supposed to be a law, was passed by the voters of the state of California in the referendum in 1994, November. They passed it, no question. Californians stood up and said, no more illegals, no more law. They're going to stop the financial hemorrhaging. But, and I figured that, and many people said, it'll never stand. The courts will knock it down, and that's exactly what happened.
Yep.
The will of the majority of Californians passed 187, created it, brought it into being, and passed it. But a federal court found it to be unconstitutional, and so the voters appealed it. Those who passed it got the, they immediately launched a federal appeal. Governor Gray, or Pink Davis, denied the entire appeal process. He stopped it. He halted it. Completely illegal. So when I asked you about why, this has to be something coming down from way above the visible upper limits of government. There was a reason America had to be destroyed. It's primarily because of its constitution. But more than that, it's because of what it used to be, a moral bedrock of a nation. This country had morals and values that no, we're the only country on the face of this planet that has guaranteed freedom of speech in writing. So America had to be taken down or the globalists would never succeed in installing a one world government. It's that simple. Go ahead, James, please.
Well, what else can I add to that? You said it. America, as it existed in the early 1950s, as late as the 1950s, was absolutely incompatible with a world government. So they had to find a way to get around the people of America in order to make it amenable to their future plans for us. And the way they did it, coincidentally, started in 1954 with the Brown versus Board of Education decision.
Right.
That really was the first time where, you know, the will of the voting public was overturned by judicial review.
Mocked.
And we've seen that play. They have run that play over and over and over again. Proposition 187, passed by the will of the people, enacted as a law, one judge with a stroke of a pen, overturned it. Happened in Arizona a couple of months ago. It continues to happen. The precedent was set in 54, and that's what got us the you know, so-called civil rights movement. And by the way, Jeff, you know, I'm all for equal opportunity for all, special privileges for none. You know, a job, you know,
that's
a candidate
right.
comes in for a job, most qualified candidate should get the job, regardless of creed. But I'll tell you, you know, this judicial review stuff, overturning the will of the voting public, that's not America. You know, that's Stalinist Russia. This is something, and they're further inhibited, our people are further inhibited by this, you know, by the fear of being called a racist, which is my what my book is all about, you know.
You're trying to empower people and to get them past that psychological trap of fear. Everything's fear-based now, everything.
That's right.
America has never been so strung out on anxiety. And apprehension than it is right now. And that's something that we have to address. I don't know how to do it when we don't have access to the dominant mainstream media, but we are doing some pretty amazing things on the Internet. Now, what we have with the launch, and this is the first salvo of World War III. It's cyber war. It's not going to be fought with missiles and bombs. We launched World War III against Iran. We'll see where it spreads. The cyber attack, the STUX Stuxnet virus, was specifically designed to disarm, disable, and destroy the Iranian nuclear power program. It got into the Bashir reactor, which is basically just it's an unusable piece of equipment right now. They're going to have to gut the whole thing and reinstall the entire computer system. But this is where we're going. Do you remember the Chinese several years ago when they said that they were into the heart of America's computer software that controlled our electric grid? They went in there. They mocked us. They laughed at it. So cyber war is where it's all going. It's not going to be traditional warfare anymore. It won't need to be. We could be brought to a screeching halt here in a matter of hours if China decided to do it. That's why the administration is trying, well, one of the reasons, saying they have to have a master switch to throw to turn the Internet off to, quote, protect us. Well, we know that's a lot of BS. But by and large, this is the protocol. Now, you watch what will happen. I'm going to predict that there will be some kind of a major attack, a cyber attack, which will further underscore their, quote, need to have this ability to shut the Internet down at any time to protect us.
Well, yeah, there'll be a false flag operation, and this is what they
Same
want.
Old
this is
story.
What they're going to have. They're never going to be able to pass laws to restrict the freedom of thought and exchange of ideas on the Internet unless they have something that makes the Americans once again feel, as they've done so many times, that their vital interests are imperiled. And then they'll gladly do exactly that which our founding fathers warned us. They'll give away their freedoms for what they perceive to be safety. And it's a fool's errand, Jeff, and I hope that, yeah, we don't have CNN, we don't have Fox News working for us, but you have your program, you're reaching a lot of people, and I've got my show, I don't reach as many people, but still a lot, and hopefully all of us pulling together will be enough to at least challenge them for control of the rudder. But there's a lot that people need to learn, and we don't have a lot of time left, I'm afraid.
We don't, and the chasm between those who get it and those who don't is widening every day, literally, and this is by design. Younger people now don't speak our language, don't really understand the kind of moral values we try to talk to them about. They don't live in that kind of a world. They live in their own world. They have their own talk, their own social mores, which are virtually non-existent. And by the time they're 16, 18, they're not us anymore, James. And that's not all of them, but that's the majority of them. So we've got to find those who are, as a young demographic, still able and desirous of reading your book, Racism, Schmacism, considering it, reading other things, those who can still think and be proactive rather than just reactive. This government, this world conspiracy, which is exactly what it is, wants to create nothing more than the hive mentality of reactive or reactor units. These people do not think, they don't create, they simply walk around and respond to all the various stimuli that the advertising Madison Avenue Wall Streeters throw at them. And that's a tragedy. It's an intellect that is stillborn. And I've said for years, how do you awaken someone when there's nothing there to wake up? It's very tough.
Well, they've taken over all of our institutions, all of the institutions that we founded, from academia to the media, even our churches now, are firmly in control of the those who hate America. You know, I can at least put it that way.
That's fine.
So we do the best we can with the resources we have available. It's the message I try to get out of my book, I think, is an important one. You've been very generous and gracious to allow me to talk about it tonight, but the one thing I want your listeners to come away with tonight is to realize that when the liberals use the word racist, it doesn't have the meaning it used to have, which was, of course, someone filled with hate and animosity for people unlike them.
Right.
Modern-day definition of racist is a white person. Racism is anything a white person does that liberals don't approve of. And once you understand that, you'll understand politics in modern-day America. I think my book, Jeff, allows people to equip themselves with the intellectual ammunition needed to fight back. They'll be able to disarm the socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's one thing I think people need, just one of many things people need, but I'm happy to provide that one.
Well, you've done it, and I hope the book continues to do very well. Are you running into any obstacles or opposition or people demonstrating against it? Or is this the same old with the SPLC?
No, you know, that's the thing, you know, public perception, I guess perception is the ultimate reality. You know, the media would label me so many different things, but the book has been outstandingly well received by people of the intellectual community, the right of center intellectual
right.
community. It's been very well reviewed by some of the top minds in the country. It's been very well reviewed by the people who have bought it on Amazon and through my website.
Because you're telling the truth. Facts are facts.
Yeah, well, you know, that's the thing. You know, the media doesn't speak for the American people. The American people still can't speak for themselves if they choose to, and the reality of the thing is
Thanks for joining us tonight in the Political Cesspool. To learn more about us or to make a donation to keep this program on the air, go to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.